Ahmad Jamal plays at Vicker Street on January the 24th, and I'm delighted to welcome him on the line now from the US of A. How are you, Ahmad?
Hey, man. I'm good. And how are you?
I am all the better for talking to you, to be perfectly honest.
I'm enjoying the sunshine coming in my room, and I'm just sitting here waiting for your call.
That's great to hear. It's a spectacularly beautiful day in East Clare here. I'm in rural Ireland.
Well, I'm glad. Beautiful day here.
And which part of the world are you based in these days?
I'm in New England, where America began, Massachusetts.
You will be in Dublin on the 24th of January. Can I presume you're going to be playing material from your latest album?
Some of the material I'll be using from my latest and also from my Grammy-nominated album, Blue Moon as well.
I look forward to that. You're from Pittsburgh originally. And
yeah, the home of many, many famous musicians and artists and tap dancers and industrialists. It's a wonderful place.
You would have been exposed to all this kind of music in the 30s and the 1940s then when you were growing up?
Absolutely. I was playing Franz Liszt when I was 10 years old. I was also playing Duke Ellington when I was 10. So in Pittsburgh, we play it all.
Can you, off the top of your head, just name some of the artists, particularly the jazz artists from that neck of the woods that younger listeners might be familiar with?
A little guy that wrote Misty, and Clint Eastwood did a movie about Play Misty for me, Earl Garner. You heard of him?
I have indeed, yes.
Billy Strayhorn, who wrote some of Duke's biggest hits. He wrote Take the A-Train. We have a little tap dancer named Gene Kelly. Ever hear of Gene Kelly?
Indeed, yes.
We have Andy Warhol, I believe. We have Earl Weil, the great exponent of Liszt.
Yes.
And we have Billy Eckstine, the great ballad singer. We have Roy Eldridge, Earl Hines, Ray Brown, Kenny Clarke, a little guy named George Benson.
Mary Lou Williams.
And, a great saxophonist named Stanley Turrentine, the late Stanley Turrentine. I can go on and on.
Did you remember Art Blakey? I think you forgot to mention him.
Art Blakey?
Yeah. So you were spoilt rotten, really, growing up in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
And you had a piano at home, I gather? Was your mother a player?
I had an upright at home. My mother, they tell me, always wanted to take piano lessons, but the kids came along, so she didn't have time for anything but us.
Yes.
So I sat down at her upright piano when I was 3 years old, and the rest is history.
Yes.
That's why I'm talking to you.
Indeed. I gather you got your union card very early?
14 years old, 2 years underage.
Mm.
You have to be 16, but the president looked at me with a wary eye, and he let me go. He let me pass.
Okay. And what type of establishments, then, would you have been playing in at this time?
Oh, I was working some of the big band, the halls, dance halls in and around Pittsburgh, the nightclubs, the typical nightclubs, and we had many jam sessions at the Union, our famous Union, Air Force 71 it was called.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a typical arena growing up in Pittsburgh as a young musician, nightclubs and dance halls, big bands, small ensembles. I worked duos, just tenor saxophone and piano. I did all kinds of configurations. You name it, I've been there.
And when did you decide to switch to the trio format then, the three musicians?
In 1951, I inherited that role as leadership. It was a group called the Four Strings, and our wonderful leader, director, Joe Kennedy, decided to leave. I assumed the role as leader, became the Three Strings. A big responsibility for a young man, 21 years old.
Indeed. Now, Miles Davis is on record saying that he admired your playing, particularly your use of space. How is it the two of you never actually got together?
Because we were both leaders. And when you're busy leading, you don't have time, but at least at that time. There was an attempt to get Cannonball Adderley and myself and Miles on a recording, but it never happened. Miles lived just a few steps from me. In New York for many years, but we only had a mutual admiration society. Never worked together. Wasn't supposed to be.
Now, he liked your music. Is there anything that you learned off Miles?
I gleaned quite a few things from Miles. But, you know, you adopt your own direction. You get your own direction, and you have to follow that. He followed his own direction, and I followed mine. But I like many things that Miles did, from inception to the end of his career. He was always exploring, doing new things. Everything he did, Miles was a very interesting, colorful figure. And I appreciate the fact that he supported me.
Mm. Your latest album, Ahmad, Saturday Morning, is it fair to say it's a little louder and faster, perhaps, than listeners might expect?
Well, there's a variety of things there, dynamics there. I have some very, very soft melodic things. I have some percussive things. All my music is varied. It has a bit of everything in it.
Indeed. I've just been listening to a few of your things in the past few days, the Gary Burton live album. You did one with George Coleman, I seem to remember, for Dreyfus Jazz, the French label. I mean, looking back over your very long career, it must be said, are there any highlights?
1952, Duke Ellington's 25th anniversary at Carnegie Hall with Charlie Parker with strings, Dizzy Gillespie, Billie Holiday, Stan Getz, and guess who? Me. I'm the only one living as far as the headlines are concerned. There may be some side men still living, but out of the aforementioned, I'm the only one living. 22 years old.
Right. Billie's singing. Have you a preference?
Billie Holiday?
Mm.
Anytime.
Even those last few years?
Even then, she was timeless.
Nobody like her to phrase a line, that's
absolutely
for sure. Now, you weren't the first to play in a jazz piano trio. There was Nat King Cole, of course, Art Tatum, and so on. But you did popularize the form. Is it the band that makes the music, or is it the music that makes the band?
a body is no stronger than his head.
That's a good answer. Regarding piano playing, some reckon that the sound of the keyboard is more important than the actual notes, and others vice versa. Which camp would you say you fall in?
You have to have both in order to to attempt to play this music. You have to have the notes, you have to have the sound, you have to have the approach, you have to have the experience, you have to have a vast repertoire, you have to have many, many things, not just one ingredient. Many things that go into a recipe, many things. Dynamics, discipline, joy, storytelling, many, many things.
Mm. Regarding now studio albums rather than live performance, would there be much rehearsal involved? Would you have scored arrangements? Are sessions the result of fortunate accidents?
No such thing as that. Everything has to be prepared and thought about. I've been writing since I was 10 years old, and I still write.
Yes.
The things I did with my ensembles, when I had the configuration of guitar, bass, and piano, I wrote all those arrangements, and I'm still writing.
Okay, so it's
So everything has to be thought about. It can't be accidental.
So it's not like the Bayesians with their head arrangements. Do you think that's a throwback to your classical upbringing then, to actually have structured arrangements?
My training is in American classical music and European. We didn't separate the two bodies of work in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, you grew up in Pittsburgh, you have to study both forms. The American songbook, and you have to study Beethoven and Mozart approaches.
How's the state of jazz in the United States these days, Ahmad?
Very healthy. More people are coming from all over the world to learn this art form. They're coming from Japan, coming from Russia, coming from South America, all over to learn this art form. And it's still growing. It's the only art form that started in America besides American Indian art. We only have two art forms, in my opinion. Mm. American classical music / jazz and American Indian art. And it will continue to grow because it's authentic. It's the real deal.
Am I right in thinking that, like Duke Ellington, you don't like the word jazz used to describe your own playing, your own music?
I don't call myself a jazz musician. I don't think Duke called himself a jazz musician.
He certainly didn't.
I don't think John Coltrane called himself a jazz musician. We have to define the terminology that we want used. We who are engaged in this art form, we have to define what is the proper term for what we do. They have a piece of software that they put out 20 years ago called jazz. It has nothing to do with music. And if you look in the dictionary, there are many definitions for jazz that don't apply to what we do. It's a very interesting metamorphosis that we're going through.
Yeah, it's a term that's possibly more helpful to the listener and the critic.
What happens is, as I said before, what we've done, we've interpreted the works of these composers beyond their wildest dreams. Bought and Sold by Coleman Hawkins, for example.
Mm.
My Favorite Things by John Coltrane. What we've done, I'm not paranoid about the word jazz, because now it means something more than a dingy, smoky nightclub. it means edifices like Jazz at Lincoln Center, which Wynton Marsalis has built. That's why I say it keeps growing and growing and growing. We raised money, Clint Eastwood, myself, the mayor of San Francisco, for the building that is now erected in San Francisco. And this speaks of what this art form is doing and has done and will continue to do.
You're especially appreciated in France, honored by the government there, and within 2007. Have you any notion why this should be so? What is it the French people like about you so much?
Well, you know, sometimes the native doesn't get recognized until he goes away. You know that.
We're very familiar with the concept here in Ireland, I can tell you that, Ahmed, about not being appreciated, that's for sure.
We have a situation in every area of expertise where you're not recognized sometimes until you go away. Because sometimes at home, you're taken for granted. When I say home, I don't mean Pittsburgh, because USA is my home. And sometimes this music is taken for granted here. And in France, we have the hiatus of great players like Dexter Gordon, Johnny Griffin. Sidney Bechet is a national treasure in France. Mm. He left New Orleans, never went back. Kenny Clark, great drummer, he left and went to France, never came back. Bud Powell, and it goes on and on and on. So this is what happens. Unfortunately, that's the case. Mozart was not appreciated as he in his hometown as he is nowadays. The whole town, when you go to his hometown, Europe, the whole town is built around Mozart. But it wasn't so when he was living.
Yes, very true. Now, if you could give one single piece of advice to a young musician, what would it be?
Seek knowledge, acquisition of knowledge. And that allows you to have options. What do I mean by that? Learn how to compose, learn how to write, learn how to perform, and learn how to teach. So you can be places because you want to be, not because you have to be. And I always tell them, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you only have one exit door. If a fire breaks out, you might have a problem. When you have options, you have choices. And the only way you can have choices is get the requirements that allow you to have options. That's very important.
Now, you're playing Dublin, as I say, on the 24th of January. I noticed that it's a quartet, four musicians rather than three up on stage. How does that affect the dynamic?
I don't call my groups trios or quartets. I call them ensembles. So I've had this configuration for years now. South Play, yeah, in Paris, I had seven pieces.
Just explain it again to our listeners. It's piano, bass, drums.
Percussion.
What musicians are you bringing with you to Ireland?
It'll be James Kamak on bass. Mm-hmm. He's been with me 27 years. Erlen Riley on drums. The great percussionist, Manolo Bedrina, who was with Joe's Avenue a number of years.
Indeed, yeah.
And Mr. Jamal.
Very good, Mr. Jamal. It's been lovely talking to you.
Amen. It's a good pleasure. Distinct pleasure. And you have a great day.
I will indeed. And listen, I look forward to seeing you on the night. Ahmed, lovely talking to you.
Thank you very much. Ciao, ciao.